So today is January 5th, 2026, and I am thrilled to introduce you and hear what Peter Hayward can offer us.
Okay. Well, thank you for the
report, Terry.
I use my own private recorder.
Right. Perfect. So thank you for the wonderful introduction. It's great honor to be present with so many of you from so many parts of the globe. And I'm really honored to be able to talk on this topic, which means so much to me. And I have created just a couple of PowerPoint foils just to put some structure into the talk. So I'm going to share them with you, but I would like, you know, really invite, and I'm going to invite everyone to make this an interactive session. So I'm very interested in getting your own points of view on some of the things I'm going to share. And if you have your own ideas, please bring it into the discussion. The more the merrier. If you have a different opinion, please share it. So let's bring it to life together. And let me share. If this is still working, do you see?
Yes.
Do you see what?
Perfect. Yeah, so yes.
Let me just, I think, Terry, thanks for the wonderful introduction. Just maybe to add, so I am, what to know about me? I'm a Brit living in Germany, and that has always brought challenges, because if you're familiar with English humor, it's very unique and it's very black. And I figured living in Germany, German humor is a bit different. And some argue virtually non-existent. So I spent most of my life somehow sort of acclimatizing to this. But one of the things I've really noticed, and it came quite late, that humor is actually one of my defining values. I actually enjoy having fun with people. and I actually looked at a lot of relationships, both business relationships and personal relationships. A lot of humor is really a center of a lot of those relationships, including my wife, Anna, who you can see hidden in the back corner, and she's Polish. We've been married 25 years. Today is our 25th wedding anniversary. And one of the things, that's how we actually met. We met at a party, and it was a pretty boring party, but she had a really great sense of humor and we had a lot of laughs. And that's how we sort of met each other. And throughout our relationship, it pretty much stayed that way. So humor is actually a shared value in our marriage as well. So, yeah, that's why humor became such an important topic to me. Other than that, I can't add anything to that introduction. The middle picture is I live close to the mountains. That's a picture from last week. It's very snowy and cold. And then one of my hobbies is, which is pretty unusual, I restore antique furniture. So I love actually doing things with my hands, and you need your head and you need your hands for working with old furniture. And it's a great learning process. So if you look at the pictures on the bottom, that was an old chair. And the reed, it has a reed on the back, so we had to replace the reed, and we'd never done that before. So that was a bit of an experiment that took us, my wife and I, took us about 4 weeks in the summer as well. So that's a fun thing. We had lots of fun doing that. And there was a lot of swearing as we were doing that as well, I can tell you that. Okay, so maybe humor. So how did I, if you actually look at humor, this is the definition from the Oxford Dictionary. It has many different facets and it's many angles. But one of the things that really sets us apart from all other beings on this planet is is laughter. So there's only one species that actually has laughter and uses humor. It's like a chimpanzee that comes close to that. But apart from that, from all of the different social norms animals do when they communicate, when they share, when they live with each other, humor is one that is very unique to us. And it makes it quite fascinating as well. So I'm a bit nervous as well. Like, I haven't talked for a long time. I've had 2 weeks off of over Christmas. So in the context of coaching, I'm going to open this up as a question to you. How might humor support coaching? And I've got a little picture here. It's something called WD-40. I'm not sure if you have that, if you're familiar with this. Anyone know WD-40?
Yes, and the humor definitely does that.
Yeah, so it's a lubricant. Yeah, so it helps lubricate conversations as well. And I'm just going to open it. I haven't got a poll set up, but who has actually used or applies humor in their own coaching? Give a hands up here.
Oh, yeah.
1, 2, 3. Let me see if I can see. Let me get everyone on Valerie. So. Oh. Hold on a sec. So a lot of you.
Si.
Are using this.
Yeah,
well. Okay, so I'm going to ask you then the next question. Hold on. It's something I shouldn't have done. Hold on. How did you learn how to do that? What did you do? How do you know when to use humor or when you bring humor into coaching? How did you learn how to do that? Anyone
it's
want to
about,
shout?
It's about authenticity. Yes.
Being authentic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being authentic
being
is?
Being present.
Mm-hmm. So you need to be present?
Yeah.
How do you know when to be authentic? How does that work? How do you know the right moment to use humor in your, with a client?
It's about the connection also that we create with each client.
Mm-hmm.
So with some clients, we happen more, you know, and I think with others, not so much, depending on the situations.
So it's situational.
It's a culture things, right? Because in some culture, what will make me laugh, maybe it will not make somebody else. Like you said, the British, right? You will not maybe joke with people that live in Germany because they will not understand your joke or your humor.
For me, it's intuition. It's hard to explain. It's in the moment. It's what you sense from the other person. And sometimes I've overdone it. But I know that it's really the other person a lot of times. It's what the other person can get the message. There's, you know, not in words, but in energy.
So energy. For me, it's a tool to change the mood in some occasions. And I use it very instinctively.
For me, it's a combination of my inner gut and my head. I want to make humor a lot. And I've learned to run it through the filter up there to make sure that it's the right connection to be able to do that.
Wonderful. What else?
If I can't have humor in a client connection, I'm not my best. I don't make light of their situation, but I am light in the situation. That's how I feel it.
So it can help. It helps bring you energy yourself as a coach when you can do that.
Yeah.
So it has two ways. There's two sides to it as well.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So wonderful as you're bringing. So you've got a good set of different skills and knowledge on how to do it. There is a certain risk involved. Mm-hmm. So it requires a bit of intuition, a bit of fingertip feeling, and knowledge and experience on when and should. And but I believe you all feel, you know, it can have a big impact when you do, when you are able to use it in the right moment. And this is what Terry alluded to at the beginning. This was actually quite a shocking thing for me as well, because I've been working with the ICF core competences for nearly 15 years. And you actually, the last time the core competences were revised in 2021, before then, there was actually, there was a mention of humor. And it was, you can see it, it used to be the coaching present. And one of the skills or the core competences was being able to use humor effectively to create lightness and energy with a client. So it did, it did have a mention, but when the new competences came out a couple of years ago, it doesn't really have a specific mention. So I spend a lot of time doing what Terry just described as well, trying and search through and do a search of all the documents and the places. But indeed, it doesn't have a specific place, but it sits in many, many, many different places. This is how I really got into this whole topic a bit, because I wanted to understand a bit more deeply on how humor, where and which competences it could be linked to. And then I came into a collaboration with Professor Passmore. I asked him, because I'm not an academic. I did study philosophy, but I hadn't done any academic research for a long time. And I was interested in sort of researching it a bit, because there's not a lot written on it. And that's really what got me going on this whole topic as well. So I did a bit of research with the support of Professor Passmore. And then as a result of that, I talked to a lot of experienced coaches on this topic. And I asked them a number of questions. And I tried to get their sort of insights into what they were doing and how they learned it. A bit like you've just been sharing with me. And this is what sort of came out of it in a bit. There's two sort of core ways in which humor has an impact on coaching. One is it has a relational impact. So in order for you to be able to use humor with a client, there needs to be a relationship with that client. So there is the relationship between the coach and the client, and humor can really help on that. Because if you basically are able to share at ease in an authentic way with someone, that allows you to be more present with that person. They can sense that as well. They feel more at ease. So it's something that really can help you enhance your presence. And in order to be able to do that, you need to have trust. There needs to be some trust, some mutual trust between the client and you. So when you're able to use humor and apply humor in a way, in the right way, that really can sort of, that can lubricate, or that can help increase trust between the client and yourself as a coach. So it can help improve that relationship. And if that relationship, if you've got a relationship with a client, an established relationship with someone, the coaching's been going over a longer period of time, that can really help help build rapport. It can help ease anxiety on topics you're discussing with your client, and it can also help relieve tension. So these are all ways in which humor can really sort of help improve the relationship. And it can also then help create this safe space or playfulness or banter where you're able to share at ease. That all comes out of the relationship. Anyone like to add anything at this stage to this? How humor, how you, any experiences and how humor has helped build or form the relationship with clients of yours?
I would add that sometimes it bridges, it creates a bridge to pass from one situation to other, from one state to other, or even to cross gaps of hardship.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter, I feel it also helps sometimes get an outside-in perspective to get out of the box.
Out of the box?
Yeah.
So some fresh, and if anyone wants to share an example, please feel free to share anything that came up in any relationship or coaching relationship you have.
I would say it's not about the relational impact, but it happened to me that a client told me that, oh, I'm going to learn how to use humor because I see that I don't need to be serious to get there. I see it in you. And they bring this humor I usually use to them. And so we don't need to be so serious, so anxious. So we can be ease and be lighter in what we say and the way I work with my teams. And so that happened. And it's not really about our relationship, but it's about mirroring something, or it functioned as a mirror. I wasn't mirroring anything, but it functioned to the client.
Okay, so it can create energy and amplify energy.
And more than that, because they realize that they can use humor and be serious about results and about processes and about everything using humor. They don't need to be that so closed, so anxious, so hangry, because humor makes things go easier.
Yeah, so easier. And you have, when you learn better when you're having fun, and when it's easier and not so hard going, it's easier to learn and develop. Carla.
In my experience, I feel that that it's easier to start in a soft way, and as you do when you coach, you try to use the client vocabulary and expressions. I try to adapt my humor to the people I have, the person I have in front of me, and I believe that it helps. This kind of wall that doesn't allow you to communicate more freely, it helps to put off this wall. Sorry for my English.
That wonderful. So it helps break down barriers a bit.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. That's it. Thank you.
Terry.
My favorite example was someone who came to me feeling ordinary. Everybody around her was doing amazing things, and she was ordinary. And that word came up so many times. And intuition said to me, go get your magic Tinkerbell wand. I went, what? I backed up. I picked up the wand. I asked her if she would be willing to kneel down on the floor, one knee. And what came out of my mouth was, ordinary, you are ordinary, ordinary. Let me give you an extra one, extraordinary. And all of a sudden, the two of us realized what I said, and we laughed, and everything changed. We laughed very hard. So it was intuition, but it was also, I was getting frustrated because I was tired of hearing her say ordinary, and I didn't know what to do because there was nothing wrong. You know, why don't you accept yourself? You're ordinary. But I couldn't go there myself, so my bias came in very strongly, and that was part of the memory.
Yeah. So that's a beautiful example. And it can also be at that moments like that, it can also be a game changer or a relation. It can have the right moment that can really sort of, help move to some new level.
Right.
Okay, so we got the so wonderful thoughts. Shala, please, you have something?
It seems to me that we can offer joy. That our place, our situation, our desk or office could be a place of joy, so that when people come in, they feel uplifted. And I think there's so much seriousness involved in so much coaching when we need lightness about life. It can be ha-ha funny, but look what's happened on television in the last few years. We have improv, popular programs of improv, and we could all learn from those improv techniques to say yes and laugh. And also just so much humor in our communication, in our media communications. And my goodness, what a welcome change.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that example as well. Anyone like to share anything else on how humor can help build the relationship with the client?
Me, I do believe that humor is highly related to our essence. I do believe that this tend to smile. We have it since we are babies, so it's part of us, and it helps us connect to our real essence. Because I do believe at the very end, at the very deep, we are that, we are light, we are happiness, we are still beautiful things. So, thank you.
Yeah. And it's, they're also a bit about the mirroring. Like, if you're able to do that and create that, then something comes back when you're able to do that. Or you get something back when someone does something or says something nice to you that creates a lot of energy in both directions. Claudia.
Yes, and it feels like when you connect with the humor and like a smile pops up, then the partnership has really begun, the coaching partnership. And it's like the opening to a window of opportunities. And so it's like you're more on your right side of the brain or the creative part. And then like there's more room to explore alternatives.
Yes. Talia.
Okay, so for me, humor helps to change the way you think. I mean, it's about the connection in your brain with all the cells and on the neurons. And I remembered suddenly, that's why I raised my hand, that I saw a video with Anthony Robbins. And, you know, thousands of people, and the woman he picked, or she wanted to talk, and she started crying about her situation, a bad situation. And he looks at her, and he stands in front of her, and he looks at her, and he asks her. And she's with bad mood, right? And I'm sorry for maybe I'm a little bit rude, but that's what he asked her. And in the middle of her speaking, he says, "Sorry, did you fart?" and she started laughing. She couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry for the word, but that's what he did. And all the audience, of course. And suddenly her all energy changed. And she spoke only about, only from the state of mind of being with human and not with that sadness that she was before. And it was an amazing change. So sorry for being a little bit.
A beautiful example. Because this goes back to, but these are all some of the things that came, all of you are coming up with great examples. What I'm sharing here and what we're discussing, these were some of the things also that came out of the research, what the other coaches shared. And that's a beautiful example as well. A lot of the coaches I interviewed, they referred to it as creating unstuckness. So it helps unstick situations or remove blockages. And when something often very small, banal, stupid, silly, whatever, can have a huge impact if you're able to do that at the right moment as well. So all of this, so it helps in a relationship, it helps create energy, it helps generate lightness, it helps create new perspectives. All of these things can help you as a coach when build a relationship with a client over time. So, and the other thing that can happen as well, so there's the relational impact of humor, but the other thing a lot of the coaches talked about is, you know, you need to know the right moment. Yeah, so the relationship needs to be right. And even with the right relationship, the timing of when you can do that, even if you have a good relationship, you need the right time, you need a sense. But there needs to be the right situation, the right moment. And this is really important for a coach as well, because if you don't do that properly and you don't select the right situation, you can do a lot of damage. Yeah, and trust and the relationship, a lot of that can backfire very, very quickly. So it's important also as a coach to know the right situation when you can use humor. And then when you do find those situations, it can help encourage creative thinking as well. It can get the Dahlia, the example you shared, it can get the dialogue moving in a different way. It can create a different type of energy. So all of this can help encouraging creative thinking. What also happens if you can use humor in the right situation, it can create a memorable situation. Funny things, you remember funny things, they stick to you as well. So if you have an insight or a moment, I call it here a memorable knowledge bite, there's a higher chance you're going to remember something if there's a level of lightness and when it's shared with you. And that's
Hello,
pretty
Peter,
important.
Can I give an example to that
Please.
Point? We had, 50 years ago, we had a language teacher in Israel. And he told us that we might forget him after some brief years, but we will always remember the examples he used and he's using in teaching language. And he used sentences like, in order to help grammatics, he used sentences like, the mouse roared the unfinished aria or the unfinished opera or whatever it was. And the combination of this unbelievable and kind of stupid words together made it damn sure that we remember it 50 years yep. later, no doubt.
And it lives on through you sharing the example with us, and Dahlia, your example, you see it shares on, you share it with someone else. So, you know, it actually becomes a very important way of storytelling or transferring knowledge and information. So it can be very, very helpful if you're able to do that. And when that happens as well, when you're able to do that, and some of you mentioned that, it can really help a client develop a new perspective on something. And get unstuck. So this is all the things we've been talking about. So it can help build, it can help deepen and form the relationship with a client, and it can help help you and the client in specific situations, depending on what your coaching topic is. Those are the two ways in which, you know, humor coaches refer to how they use humor. Now, let's talk a bit about the risks and the side effects of some of the things that can go wrong when you don't do this in the right way. So what can happen? That, you know, if it's not the right moment or it's not the right client, you can risk the client, if you say something that's funny or humorous and it's very deep for them, you know, you could signal that you're not taking them seriously. And even though that could feel like it's very funny for you, it may not be the same for the client. So that could also have an adverse effect on the relationship with the client. And that could apply both to the client, but also the topic that they're discussing with you.
Yeah, but you might, sorry for interrupting, but yeah. You might ask for permission to use something humorous, and that's, you know, that makes another effect. It makes it better if the client says, okay.
Really good point. And then this will come, if you're able to do or use humor as part of your contracting with your client, that reduces a lot of this. Yeah. And you know, getting permission and talking about advance is a really good point. If you're able to do that, it can minimize these risks as well. It can also, and I've caught myself at this, like you think you found the right moment that you could use an example that's going to bring energy in there, and you're thinking and trying to get that in at the right moment, it may disrupt a client's train of thought. Yeah. So you need to, you know, should I wait? Should I do it? Should I not do it? The timing, it's the timing aspect is really important as well. And if you don't get that right, you know, potentially it can move the attention from the client to you as a coach. And if you do it wrong and you have to explain why you use that example or that humor, you know, you take a lot of time doing that and it somehow moves everything onto you. And that's not ideal in coaching as well, when we start sort of becoming the center of attention versus the client as well. So that's also something to be aware of as a coach. And then, as mentioned, that there's so many different cultural nuances. It's almost like a minefield. What's very funny in one culture can not be at all funny in another culture. And there's so many different cultures in these things, and it's virtually impossible to know, even with a lot of experience working with people from different cultures and countries, there are all these nuances. I started looking up for books on this, by the way. It's there's virtually nothing written on this. It really is a minefield also for, you know, training or working with cross-cultural competences seems to be something where there isn't a lot of research done on that. And a lot of what I did read was, don't go there. It's too risky. Yeah, it's a minefield. Don't try and do it, which is a bit of a shame. Yeah. So I think the thing there though is the important thing is really that it's really important to find the right moment for doing that. And of course, when is the right moment? How do you know that? That's a very difficult question. So how do you develop the skill? Maybe coming to what Terry said at the beginning, how do you go about doing that? It's got to be authentic. Like, to do this, it's got to be you. And that makes it very difficult as well. Like, you need to be confident. You need to have confidence. And that's, I would say that's a pretty advanced coaching skill. Like, to be able to be confident enough with a client, with yourself. That's not something I could do for many years when I started coaching. Yeah, you need to be able to do that as well. And it takes a bit of experience and confidence. But it has to be, don't do it if you've read it or you sing it and you're not sure whether it's the right thing. It has to be you. That's really important. Yeah? And I think to do all of this we're describing as well, that requires a bit of vulnerability because it can go wrong. even though it may backfire and you may have to explain or apologize or relativize it, I think you need to be vulnerable when you do that and open-minded and able to drop it and able to explain why you did it and explain why it maybe wasn't the right moment or the right time. Vulnerability can help here a lot as well. But you need to be bold. Yeah, requires a bit of risk-taking, being bold. And one of the things that can really help there is really factoring it into your contracting with your clients. So if you do want to do it, and checking out at the beginning of the coaching relationship. Yeah. And if you're not sure and you think it could be good, that always works, regardless of whether you contracted on humor, you can seek permission. May I share something with you? Is this the right moment for something like this? I'm not sure. You can get someone's permission before you share something. So all of these are things that can help you if you're not 100% certain. And I think this is the one which is also very important, be able to let go. You know what it can be like if you're trying to explain something that's funny? It often be the more you try and explain it, the less funny it becomes. That happens to me all the time. And sometimes it's just, okay, don't try and explain it too much. So these were, I think, so those were a couple of initial thoughts on this. I'm still a big believer in this, and I think there's a huge place for this as well when you do this. So it's sort of a bit of the summary of some of the things that can happen when you're able to do this. And one of the things that I'm going to stop sharing now as well, and one of the things that came out of this is that there is virtually everyone I talk to, not a single coach training, no one had been taught how to do this, what we're discussing here. It doesn't come up in any coach training. So I think there's an amazing opportunity in some form to find a way of actually bringing this into coach training. And I'm still not 100% sure about where and how to go about doing that. But one of the things I think that comes out of this is it's certainly not a beginning skill. It's probably an advanced skill. So maybe it's something to work on with coaches who are going to the next level in their development. I haven't really figured an answer to that as well, but I do believe there is probably a very nice space for how to go about bringing this to life. And then the other thing where I think it's a huge opportunity for us as coaches, all of these things we've been talking about, AI or coaching agents are not able to do. This sets you apart from AI. They can't do this. Right, maybe they will at some stage. But knowing the right moment when to do it, being able to share something that's funny from your own experience, like AI doesn't have that. They don't have their own experiences that they can share as well. So if you're able to use humor in this way, it can really set you apart from coaching agents and artificial intelligence. So maybe there is a place for that in the future as well, and a niche for us as coaches there. So, yeah, so whatever thoughts come to mind on the topic, I've talked a lot.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Sarcasm, right, is a very dangerous form of humor. How do you see that?
Sarcasm, black humor. So for me, like, as I think, that's a very, very particular type of humor. So that would be, for me, one where you would need to really, it would be a cultural thing. So if I'm working with there's some code, like English, if I'm working with English clients, it will be a lot easier for me to do that. But there's other countries as well. But sarcasm's a difficult one because, you know, it's hiding, and coaching is about bringing things into the open and staying it and being, you know, sarcasm's a difficult one, at least for me, to use as part of a coaching conversation.
Yeah.
So I would probably be a bit cautious with sarcasm, or being cynical, even.
It might feel for the other person, it might feel like violence a little bit.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And it may be very difficult for the other person to realize, right? Because sarcasm is like, it's hidden. So if they don't recognize it, or you wouldn't know if it's had an impact or what impact it has not had.
Can I ask if something is sarcasm with a very quick example? The client said to me, "I'm a perfectionist." And I said back, and I think it's sarcasm, "I know nothing about that." And my face was like that. And the two of us just burst out laughing, and that's all we needed to do. Was that sarcasm?
So that is sarcasm. That's a great example, I guess, where it would work. Right? Oh, but okay. Very nicely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
It's called that you are a great actor.
Well, that was authentic, you know.
Okay, just kidding, Terry. I'm just...
Oh, I took the compliment.
Peter, I think that you, when you are going to introduce this, I don't think it's a refined top priority. I think it should be everywhere. I think joy and humor and positive thinking are the way that we should be as coaches and as human beings, and that it gives us a full range of emotions that we share and that we exhibit. And there's laughter therapy, which heaven knows Edgar and I used once when I lost my husband. And I went into the bathroom at the same time with Edgar, and I laughed my head off for 5 minutes, and the endorphins flooded over me. Mm-hmm. Is that humor? Is it joy? Is it positive thinking? Is it life?
Yes. I think that's I've came close to the, when you're crying, laughing and crying, how close, I don't know. They're really close.
Yeah.
And they go, the moment when you go from one to the other, it's sometimes, yeah.
Pretty human.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, and to quote Hemingway, the sun also rises.
Well, listen, thank you for your time and really helping bring this to life as well. It's very refreshing for me. Hearing this and being able to do this with you. If you want to connect with me, so I'm the Bold Coach. So if you go to like Bold, like, so I've actually my coaching brand, and that was also intentional. And I know it's not going to win me every client, but it wins me the right clients I want to work with. And there's plenty of them out there that really appreciate that.
And in one of your languages, BALT, spelled B-A-L-D, is the word soon. Right? That's no accident. You are the soon
German
coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I, as a coach trainer, it's actually, I could use it that way as well.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be a coach soon, so BALT coach. Soon coach. It's a good branding for a coach training program.
May I add one thing, Peter, that I did share with you in our interview, and Enrique knows a whole lot about this. The word humor, H-U-M-O-R, in the Ekinar philosophy and spiritual practice, it stand hue they've taken. When a baby is born, it's the first utterance that comes out of its mouth after the womb. The first out breath. So they say this is God. They say this is the essence of you coming out into the world as a human. All right. And the hue is a very, very important utterance. And more of it is hue more.
That's beautiful.
Nice.
So thank you, Peter. I'm really thinking a whole lot now, so let me make sure I focus and just say how much I appreciate your taking the time to share this important topic with us. It definitely is not something I've ever had specifically in our coach training. I know, like, who said it, Clara? The modeling, one person mentioned modeling, and I think I can't help but be authentic modeling my kind of humor. But to bring it up as a focus to pay attention to is new, and I commit to doing that from now on. So thank you very much, and thank you, everybody, for participating in such a fun thing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Dankeschön. Thank you.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Dankeschön.